Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Borosil Renewables Limited Q1 FY27 results call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Rohan Gheewala from Axis Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening. On behalf of Axis Capital, I am pleased to welcome you all to the Q1 FY27 earnings conference call of Borosil Renewables Limited. We have with us the management represented by Mr. Ashok Jain, Director; Mr. Melvin Moses, Chief Executive Officer; Mr. Sunil Roongta, Whole-time Director and Chief Financial Officer; and Mr. Dhaval Patel, AVP Investor Relations. We will begin with the opening remarks from the management, followed by an interactive Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rohan. Good afternoon and welcome to the Borosil Renewables Q1 FY27 investor call for the quarter ended June 2026, as approved by the board on 16 July, and an updated presentation has been uploaded at both the stock exchanges and company's website. We will now discuss the operations of the company on a standalone and consolidated basis. First, coming to the standalone results, sales were ₹405.69 crores versus ₹332.26 crores in the corresponding quarter last year, registering a jump of 53%. Q4 FY26, immediately preceding quarter, sales were ₹437.62 crores, which included sales of ₹32.07 crores goods dispatched in previous quarters but delivered to customers in the Q4 FY26. EBITDA was at 35% of sales at ₹142 crores, as against ₹92.53 crores in the corresponding quarter last year, which was at 27.8%. Q4 FY. There is some interruption coming.
Yes, sir, there's some echo coming.
Hello. Should I continue?
There's still an echo coming. Yes, sir, you may continue.
Crores versus 92.53 crores in the corresponding quarter last year, which was at 27.9% of sales. Q4 FY26 EBITDA was 144.61 crores, which included ₹9.77 crores on the goods of ₹32.07 crores, as I mentioned some time ago. The major increase in sales value came from the selling prices, as the average ex-factory price during the quarter increased to ₹160.30 per millimeter per square meter, as compared to INR 138.10 in the corresponding quarter and 150.20 in the preceding quarter. The selling price includes a fuel surcharge levied from 10th March 2026 to offset cost increase due to rise in fuel prices after outbreak of war in West Asia. Sales in quantity terms were higher by 8% compared to the corresponding quarter. I am happy to inform that we were able to operate the plants at full capacity despite disruption in fuel supplies and the prices led by war in West Asia. EBITDA margin has consistently stayed above 33% for the fourth quarter in a row. We continue to work on efficiency improvements and cost reductions and expect further enhancement in the operational efficiencies. Our new solar wind hybrid captive power plant, commissioned in March 2026, has helped us increase the share of renewable power sources to 93% of the total power requirements of the quarter, making our processes more environment-friendly, as also saving us on the cost. The West Asia war situation seems to have slightly eased, and the prices of fuels have come off in the last few weeks, although uncertainties still prevail. The government has already announced lifting of supply curbs, and we expect that full contracted volumes will be made available after some time. This will bring the cost closer to the prior levels. Solar manufacturing has seen a strong growth on the back of government support. The module manufacturing capacity in the country has reached 203 gigawatt compared to just 11 gigawatt 5 years ago on the back of support by way of PLI scheme, basic custom duty and ALMM scheme. Similarly, solar cell manufacturing is now supported and ALMM 2 has been implemented with effect from 1st June 2026, mandating use of domestically produced solar cells. This has led to increase in the capacity to 30 gigawatts already, which is now expected to rise to 75 gigawatts by 2027, as significant capacities are under installation. Now, government is extending similar support to ingot and wafer manufacturing by introduction of ALMM 3, which is scheduled from June 28, under which ingot and wafer will also be mandated to be sourced from local production. We expect ingot wafer capacities of about 50 gigawatts to come into production gradually by 2029. This will bring further resilience in the solar PV value chain in the country. Various demand drivers introduced by the government helped annual solar installations to reach 45 gigawatt, which is equal to 62 gigawatt on DC basis in 2025-26. Expected growth in demand from other emerging sectors like electric vehicles, data centers and green hydrogen will take this to even higher levels going forward, leading to an increased demand of solar glass. Government support to develop domestic supply of components, for example solar glass, is also seen as the Ministry of Finance has issued a customs notification on 2nd June 2026 extending the CVD of 9.71% against imports of solar glass from Malaysia for an additional period of 5 years. Earlier, you will recall that in December 24, government extended a major support by imposing anti-dumping duties on imports of solar glass from China and Vietnam. The 62 gigawatt module requirement translates to solar glass capacity of about 11,000 ton per day, against which local solar glass capacity stands at 2,600 ton per day, equivalent to 18 gigawatt, and the country depends on import of balance for the balance. Domestic solar glass production capacity is expected to rise gradually to 7,700 ton per day, which will be close to 51 gigawatt by March 27, still leaving a supply gap. A significant portion of these new capacities is all for captive consumption. As such, the company has a ready demand for its ongoing expansion and the company does not see any challenges in selling the additional production in view of its customer relationships. Work on our ongoing expansion of 600 ton per day at existing location is in full swing and we expect the commissioning of the project in Q4 FY27. Once commissioned, this will result in sales to rise by 60% with corresponding rise in the EBITDA amount. Company is exploring further opportunities for the next round of growth. Now I come to the consolidated results for the quarter. The overseas subsidiaries, including the step-down subsidiaries, did not generate any revenue for Q1 FY27 and had a negative EBITDA of INR 0.84 crore, as against net revenue of rupees 14.32 crores and negative EBITDA of rupees 23.24 crores in the corresponding quarter last year. The consolidated net revenue for the quarter stands at rupees 405.69 crores and EBITDA at rupees 141.16 crores as compared to net revenue of rupees 346.58 crores and EBITDA of rupees 69.28 crores in the corresponding quarter last year. With these words, I would like to now open the floor to questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shivam Gupta from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I want to know, like, a profit nearly half from 169 crore in Q4 to 87 crore in Q1. Despite revenue decline only 8%, what significantly drove the margin compression this quarter?
Sorry, I didn't get your question. The numbers which you are mentioning do not seem to be in line with what numbers you have announced.
I'm telling, like, profit was 169 crore in Q4 and it went to 87 crore in Q1. Like, and revenue only declined around 8%. Like, what significantly drove this disproportionate margin compression this quarter?
No, actually, I'll just repeat the numbers for the quarter. The revenue has been 405.69 crores and EBITDA has been 142 crores. As against the revenue of 332 crores in the previous corresponding quarter and 92 crores of EBITDA in the corresponding quarter. So, in fact, the performance has been significantly better. The EBITDA has risen by 53%. There is no drop in the profit. I don't know which numbers you are referring to.
Sir, I'm comparing from Q4 to Q1, like profit number.
Net okay, profit. So Q4, if you really look at Q4 of FY26, the EBITDA was 144 crores and Q1 number is 142 crores. So it's just about there only, same numbers almost.
Sir, I'm talking about net profit.
Sir,
Are you talking of the PAT, EAT?
Yes, sir.
Yes, okay, sir. So I will just explain that. In the quarter four of last year, we had recognized the tax shield on the amount provided against the German subsidiary's investment of 325 crores. So what had happened was that in the Q1, Q2, Q3, we had not considered any tax rebate and we have provided tax. But when we got to know from the court administrator that there is nothing which Borosil or the shareholders is going to receive out of the proceedings, we considered that as a write-off. We have written off the investment into books and accordingly the tax shield has been taken into account. So the tax provision has been recalculated, which is why you see that the PBT is 120 crores and the PAT is 169 crores. Because the 75 crores of tax provision has been written back in on that investment and it has been shown as a higher PAT. So if you really remove that 75 crores, the performance is not inferior. Am I making it clear?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you,
sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Purvi from RV Investments. Please go ahead. So you may speak now.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Please go on.
Sir, I wanted to ask, what is the US impact on the company? The impact of US on the tariff. What is the impact of that on the company?
Which tariff?
Like on tariffs put on by the US government, is there any problem that you are facing on the export side?
US government. So actually our exports to US are very, very small. And we are dealing with customers who are having niche products and niche applications. So our export to that extent are not impacted. However, we foresee that USA may become a significant market to look at in future, but as of now it's a very small percentage of our portfolio. Our domestic demand in India is quite high and prices are good, so we are more focused on the domestic business as of now.
And sir, US also started a rooftop solar business. So what are the revenue expectations from the business?
See, we have started this new initiative to leverage the brand and to use the acceptability of product of the company and the group. And this is very early stage that what would be the outcome finally. But our internal target is to generate revenue of about 36 crore in this financial year. In the first quarter, the revenue was about 1.3 crore. We just started with small projects. And as we go along, the awareness will increase and our team has been already built up, so which will be obtaining more business, and we hope to do a good job here.
Okay, sir. And sir, what about the capacity expansion? Are you planning for any debt increase or are you planning for equity raise?
No, for the current expansion, which is already ongoing, we are already fully funded. And for the next round of expansion, whenever we decide on the project and the size of the project, we will take a call about financing it. But I think looking at the current run rate of profitability for the next, say, after the project is current project is commissioned by March 27, for next 1 year or 2 years, we will generate certain cash, and that will provide by way of equity support for the next expansion. And some amount of debt may be required in case there is a size of the project is high. We don't foresee any equity raise in the near future.
Another question, sir. The working capital days has been increased from 34 to 152 in the current year. So can we see any decrease in the working capital days?
So working capital days have not, according to us, not gone up substantially. A slight increase is there because of the stores inventory and other things. But in fact, we do not carry much stock of finished goods or WIP. So I'll have to really look at from where you are getting this number, 152 days. Our working capital is just about 60 days.
Okay, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhairya Trivedi from DJT Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers and thanks for taking my question. My question
Thank
is
you.
Long-term. As per my understanding, at the moment, the Indian producers are able to seek a higher price because the landed cost of imports is higher than domestic prices. And now with the domestic capacity expected to rise from 2600 tons per day to 7700 tons per day by March 2027, how will the price get impacted? I understand that a lot of the capacity is for captive consumption, but do you expect the domestic prices to move downwards because of this?
Actually, the demand in the country is quite high, and currently the domestic industry is able to supply only about 25% of the demand. So even after the capacities have expanded to 7700 ton per day, it will still be 75% of the demand only. And as I mentioned, a lot of these capacities are coming from the players who are using it for captive. The capacity available in the market will not rise substantially. In any case, the competition will remain, whether from imported or domestic goods. But because the demand is very robust and we are having reference price as the import price parity, we don't foresee any kind of challenge on the pricing.
Right, understood. And sir, is it fair to assume that we maintain the current revenue and EBITDA run rate for the rest of the financial year?
Well, it will not be appropriate to give any guidance like that, but we are expecting that if all the things remain the same, we hope to continue to do in the similar way.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Jain from Sattva Ventures. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. So my question is, sir, how do you look Borosil Renewables as a company growing from FY28, say, for next 5 years. So what is the vision of the company? How big the company wants to become, say, towards the 4,000, 5,000 crore top line? And how do we plan to get into? On the last call, Kheruka ji had mentioned that Borosil is also evaluating options to get into inverter, backward integrate into inverters, and get into multiple solar rooftop products. So just I'm interested, as a long-term investor, what are the growth prospects the company is looking for next 4-5 years?
Well, this is a very important thought for the management of the company to grow the company from here. And after the current expansion, we need to certainly take up some other project which will enhance the company's turnover, profitability, as well as provide it more diversified base of revenue streams. So we are looking at options including additional solar glass furnace, because the demand is still very robust, the gap is still there, and there is a possibility for coming up with more production of solar glass. But at the same time, we are also evaluating other options in the allied or adjacencies where we can, in terms of glass, our expertise in glass production. So we are also looking at certain other areas where it could be more interesting compared to expanding in the same product. So we hope to conclude on these aspects in next 6 months or so, and the project size and the turnover, everything will be known by that time. But we certainly are looking to grow this company from here, after March 27, from 2,500 crore to at least 4,000 crores or so. So that's how we are looking at in terms of growing the company in next, say, 3-4 years.
Sure. That's very helpful, sir. Another question, one last question I had, that in the current capacity utilization, we are increasing, in the current new capacity, we are increasing our total capacity from 1,000 TPD to 1,600 TPD. If, say, further we want to do any further CapEx on the 600 TPD, can we increase the capacity more by spending some amount of CapEx in the new facility, say, more 500, 600 TPD, if possible, if the company feels so? Or again, we have to go for an entire greenfield kind of a project?
So this will be a separate project only, because whatever expansion we are doing currently is already fully designed, and layout is frozen, and building is already getting constructed accordingly. So if we decide to add more capacity, it will be a new project and new building and new facility only. It may be in the same premises, I mean, same location, but it will have to be constructed anew, and the project size will depend. Whether 600 or 1200 will depend on what decision the management and board takes at an appropriate time.
Got it. Thanks a lot, sir. All the best to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddhant Lodaya from Sanshi Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I had a question regarding the solar rooftop business only, but it's answered. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanyam Dhoka from Front Wave Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir.
Hi. Yes, please.
Sanyam,
we can't hear you. Yeah.
you may speak now, sir.
Audible?
Not audible so far.
Hello?
Yes, please. We can hear you now.
So sorry. There was some disconnection. Thank you for giving me this opportunity, sir. Sir, I just had a couple of questions.
Yes.
For the expansion of our 600 TPD that we'll be going live, how's the timeline looking, sir? Is everything on track, or we are seeing some delays?
So it is going on as per the plan, and we hope to complete the construction and everything by December 26, and
Okay.
commission the project within first quarter, that is January to March 27.
Also, both the furnaces, SG4 and SG5.
Well, we want to start both the furnaces. It will be done one after another, so there may be a gap of maybe 1 month or so, but both will be commissioned by March 2027.
So we'll be seeing the entire revenue from FY 2028 for both the furnaces?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And, sir, also for this expansion that we have done, the incremental volume, is it earmarked for existing large accounts scaling up or, like, widening of customer base? Do you have any commitments for this from any large manufacturers?
So it will be decided at an appropriate time, because existing customers also are looking for more volumes. And, on the other hand, we are not able to service some customers which we would like to take on board. And we have been supplying to them in the past, but because of the paucity of material availability, we have not been able to supply to them. So we may add a couple of those customers whom we wanted to take on board, which we are not able to do. And also, we will increase supplies to some of the existing customers.
Okay. And also, sir, if you can shed some light on, like, the solar glass revenue between the large integrated module manufacturers versus the smaller and unorganized module makers that we have on our customer roster.
So now every module manufacturer is becoming big and big, and if you really look at the numbers, you look at the numbers earlier, the people were in 100, 200, 300 megawatts. Now everybody is in gigawatts.
Gigawatts.
And you might see at least 10, 15 of them between 5 to 15 gigawatts even. So broadly, our supplies are to customers who are large or medium, but small customers also we are servicing to the extent we can. And in terms of our, say, concentration, if you ask me on the customer concentration, our top 10 customers would be almost 65% to 68% of the total volume.
Okay.
Yeah.
And with this new expansion coming in, we'll be able to cater more players, because it's like we are the biggest one out there, and, like, everyone wants the best glass for their module, right? So
yes,
I think we'll be able to cater to all small players as well as to such large orders which we'll be seeing down the line.
Yeah, so while we will attempt to service the existing and new customers as well, but we will have to see how the module industry actually consolidates in the next 1 year or 1.5 year, because the module capacity has run up very fast, and it is far in excess of requirement. So there may be some adjustment, and because of the technology also, you might find that the module manufacturers who have got their plants based on monopark sale, they may not be able to perform, or the module players who do not have cell production facility or do not get enough cell for domestic production, they might not be able to continue, or their volumes might drop. So we'll have to see how the situation pan out and then take our call on customer arrangements, which customers we would continue to deal with, or which customers, whether they perish or they consolidate or whatever happens to them.
Yeah, because of the ALMM coming in, the cell will have to be domestic, so a lot of changes throughout the industry will be happening. So our expansion plan post FY 2027, like for FY 2028, if you see, do company have some framework or any understanding for, like, what more we can do from here on?
Yeah, so I mentioned sometime back that we are evaluating both options, like whether to increase capacity in solar glass itself by setting up additional furnaces, or whether to go for some other product which also diversifies our revenue stream and de-risk from the perspective of concentration on single product. So we have been evaluating these options, and we will take another 5-6 months before finalizing any particular strategy.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Jain from Globe Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you.
Anand's line has dropped, we move to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Deepak Puraswani from Swan Investments. Please go ahead. Mr. Deepak? Can you hear me?
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, just wanted to check regarding, if you can please repeat regarding the volume growth, what was the volume growth in this quarter?
Volume growth compared to the corresponding quarter was 8% in terms of sales.
Okay. And what was the yield in the plant in this quarter?
The net production was also about 10% higher compared to corresponding quarter. It was 1 crore 25 lakh square meters.
Okay. Okay. Sir, I mean, if I were to look into the realization part, this 160.3, does it also include in the calculation the fuel surcharge which we were discussing, and that's the reason the realization is appearing to be higher? Because when I'm doing on the implied basis the volume growth based on this realization, there seems to be some decline. So just wanted to double check on this.
Yeah, you are right that 9.50 rupees was the full fuel surcharge which we had invoiced to our customers, and that is included in 160 rupees. So, which is why you see that the realization from 150 rupees has increased to 160 rupees in this quarter compared to the previous quarter. And the decline in volume, what you are looking at probably is from Q4 FY26 and not Q1 FY26.
Okay. No, probably the realization was higher at 160 and hence I was getting a decline in the volume even on the year-on-year basis. But I got it probably at a lower realization, it there might be some growth in the volume. And secondly, on this part, sir, considering the current scenario, like you mentioned, there is also some easing out of the fuel supply. How should we see this fuel surcharge in the coming quarter as well?
See, the situation, as you know, is very dynamic, and the U.S. president has been behaving differently on everyday basis. So although the fuel situation has had eased out a little bit after the war was stopped and there were agreements that there will not be a further exchange of firing and all, but you know, again, what is happening, so prices have dropped slightly from the perspective of international gas prices or oil prices. But every day there is a change in the oil prices. You can see that already. It moved down to $72-$73 and again to $85 and all. So we don't know how it will finally pan out in next coming coming months or so. In the meantime, whatever whatever prices decline we got from the suppliers of energy, basis that we already curtailed the fuel surcharge for the customers. This 9.5 rupees has been slightly curtailed to adjust the decline in cost. So that will happen because we had committed to our customers that whatever reduction happens in this oil prices or gas prices, we'll pass it on to the customers. So we have started to do that.
Okay. And finally, sir, I just wanted to check it out, this SG1 and SG2 refurbishment which we were planning, when that is going to be lined up from the timeline perspective, and how, what would be the duration for that?
So this actual event will happen as and when the situation becomes necessary for the refurbishment. Right now the furnaces are working properly. SG1, we had some issues where we have done some patching. We used patching tiles for nearly 4 or 5 days. We had done that work and now the furnace is working properly. Although we are keeping the materials ready for the furnace repair, but actual repair might happen somewhere in 2027. Whether it will happen in Q1 or Q2 or Q3, Right now, I cannot commit, but my sense is that once we have commissioned the SG4-5 and the production has come into market, it will be sensible to do planned repair around that time, which could be in say Q1 of next year or so, like that.
Okay.
But
okay.
If there is some urgency, then we might have to do it earlier as well, because if the furnace is giving away, then we cannot hold back on our planning and we have to just execute the repair.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, sir. And wish you all.
Thank you. Thank you, Deepak. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. You said that the furnace would be going, completed by December. So, could we expect some revenue in Q4, or would that quarter go for stabilization of those furnaces?
So, while we expect the stabilization to happen quickly after the furnaces have been fired, but for glass furnaces of this nature, 1 or 2 months could be absolutely necessary for stabilizing. So we would like to be cautious here, and in that sense we would like to consider revenue only from April, although internal target is to consider revenue from 1st of March. But from any modeling point of view or any projection point of view, I would advise to be conservative and take from 1st April.
Understood. And also, we have already commissioned the renewable project. So, if you could, quantify what kind of savings can we get at the power cost on a yearly basis from the added capacity?
So, from the current, the last solar wind hybrid project which we have commissioned in March, the annual savings are expected to be about 18 crores. Although the savings have been higher in the current quarter, that is April to June, because the wind and solar both have been very, very good. Generation has been very good. Our savings were more than 6 crore rupees in quarter. But on an annual basis, if you were to ask me, the figure would be about 18 crores per annum.
Understood. And also, there were some articles regarding the strategic investment. If you want to highlight any ongoing advanced talks regarding it.
I cannot offer any comment on this.
Understood, no problem.
Yeah,
all the very best, and thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Purvi from RV Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, you also mentioned that you are planning to sell inverters and lithium batteries. So, what is the future in this? Can you explain, please?
So, actually, what we are doing is we have decided to introduce a solar kit. Now that what it contains is a module, an inverter and a battery. So it's a complete system, a solution which a homeowner can own and we can supply. And we are not independently selling batteries or inverters or like that. So it's a system, solar power rooftop. So we are currently focusing on the off-grid system, which is like say residential rooftops, then we'll gradually probably enter into CNI as well. But as of now, small size rooftops which are required by homeowners is something what we are looking at.
So any revenue expectation from this segment?
See, this is a very nascent stage as of now, and although the opportunity we see is bigger, in the sense the market is quite large, And we are taking baby steps as of now in terms of entering into a new field where we were not present. Although our name and our brand is very well known in the market, but it's a different segment as such. So we are moving selectively right now, starting with 2-3 states, and then we will see further strategies and how to grow this to a higher level. But we of course see this as a much bigger opportunity in terms of turnover. In terms of the profitability, it's not similar like glass manufacturing where you can expect 30-35% EBITDA. Here the profitability will be much lower in single digit, and I think the volume, since the volume could be higher, even the single digit would be material in terms of the profitability.
So you have also said that you are expanding your capacity by 600 TPD by December 2026. So what kind of revenue can you expect from this?
So our expansion is exactly 60% of the current capacity, and we are assuming the prices to remain same way. So 60% will be extra production, and our EBITDA will also rise correspondingly.
Netting in absolute numbers?
See, absolute numbers are very difficult to predict as of now because we can take current numbers and then extrapolate probably. So if you were to ask me any numbers, then current quarter EBITDA, suppose it is 142, you can expect another 80-85 crores to be the extra EBITDA, assuming everything remains in line with what we are doing today.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Sir, my question is about new ventures of solar rooftop solution. Sir, could you share the revenue contribution of this business along with its EBITDA margin? Profitability profile, and sir, how as an investor I should think about the long-term margin potential of this business compared with the core solar glass business?
Yeah, I just said about this that it's a very early stage for us to give you any projection, any guidelines on this number, that what will be the turnover and all. As I mentioned sometime back, our current year internal plan is to generate revenue of about 36 crores in this business, 36 crore for this financial year, and EBITDA numbers are going to, or the profit numbers are going to be in single digits, which is why what I just mentioned. And unlike solar business, where solar glass is a manufacturing business, and this is more of a trading business where you have to buy all the three components from elsewhere and then offer as a solution. So the numbers are not in line with solar glass profitability, but we expect to grow this business, and if the volumes become sizable, then even a smaller percentage would also mean additional revenue, additional profitability of a sizable amount.
Okay, and sir, my second question is your expected selling price is increased to 160.3 mm. from rupees 150.2 mm square in the preceding quarter. So sir, is it as you mentioned, is it because of the rise in the fuel charges because of West Asian crisis? But sir, in future, if everything would be normal, then realization would be same or it would be reduced?
Yeah, I just mentioned sometime back that this 9.50 rupees is the a fuel surcharge which we have been charging to our customers, and we have started to reduce the fuel surcharge already as the cost of fuel which we were paying earlier has reduced. So this 160 or 150, the gap of that 9.50 rupees will keep compressing as the fuel cost goes down, because it was to offset the cost, and if the cost has gone down, then we have no reason for it to be continue in fairness to the customers. So this might compress as the fuel costs go down, but it won't affect the profit because on the other hand, the cost would have also gone down.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhairya Trivedi from DJT Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just had a question on the gross margins. This quarter, the gross margins are almost to the tune of 80%. So, you know, are we likely to maintain that going forward?
It is how you define the gross margins is something which we need to be aligned. I think you are taking only the raw material consumption.
Right.
Yeah. And since we are a manufacturing company, we generally take manufacturing expenses also and calculate a gross margin. But assuming that whatever way you are considering it, we have a gross margin of about 78%, I think, from the perspective of numbers, what I can see. And raw material cost is about 23-24% or so. So since we do not expect a significant change in the raw material prices, and selling prices are more or less constant in that sense, we don't foresee a volatility in the gross margins.
Okay, so sir, I mean, does that mean that the EBITDA margins can move higher?
Please repeat your question.
Assuming that the gross margins will stay at about 80%, can we assume that the EBITDA margins will move higher compared to, you know, what we've done in the previous financial year? Because there the gross margins were lower.
Yeah, obviously, because, anti-dumping duty came into effect in December 24, and thereafter we gradually raised our prices, selling prices. So in the even first 3 to 4 months of the financial year also, that is financial year 25-26 also, the prices were not at the full level, and the prices have peaked after that. So obviously there will be some amount of extra profitability in the current financial year, because current financial year we'll hope to see full prices throughout the year.
Right. And when we undergo maintenance of SG1 and SG2 sometime in the next financial year or end of this financial year, do we foresee any loss of volumes because of that?
Yes, because the furnaces will have to be brought down, they have to be dismantled and re-erected, in the sense that whatever refractories have got worn out will have to be replaced. So there will be a shutdown of production for nearly 75 days, and to come back into production it will take another 15 days. So almost for 90 days there will not be a glass production in furnaces whichever have to be taken for repair, and after that it will be business as usual.
Okay, so which means But this is
typical to any glass furnace for that matter, and every 6-7 years or so the furnaces have to be rebuilt, because refractories are very corrosive and they are in contact with the high temperature at 1600 degrees, so it's a part of the industry.
Right, so which means we may not get the entire 1600 tons per day for the next financial year.
You're right. To the extent we put down the furnaces for repairs, there will be quantum loss.
Okay. And sir, can you please, you know, reiterate the timeline for, you know, this repair and maintenance of the two furnaces?
So timeline is not certain. I mentioned some time back, and we will have to see whether and when we are required to take them for repair. Maybe in quarter four of this financial year, or quarter one or quarter two of next financial year.
Okay, okay. And so just one last question. What was the capacity utilization for this quarter?
Capacity utilization is full actually. We are operating at full production, and almost 1,000 tons is our capacity, and we operate at 1,000 tons per day.
Sure. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kanodia Nikhil from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, yes, please.
Yeah. So firstly, congratulations on a decent set of numbers. So just wanted to recheck with you. You said to a previous participant that you had done some minor major work to the first two furnaces. So if you can say what was the number of days for which it was carried on?
So it was a small patchwork for one of the furnaces, which lasted for, I think, 4 days. And for those 4 days, we did not have production. So I think that was about, in terms of value, it was close to 3 crore rupees, I think.
Okay, sir. And the next maintenance, you are expecting it to come post you commission the capacity expansion. But having said that, if it might come earlier, we might do it. But as we speak, the plan is to, like, we are not seeing anything coming up in the immediate future, right?
Yes, you are right. You are right.
Okay, sir. That was my question. Thank you and all the best for your future, sir. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal from Persistent Cap. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Sonal Minas. I hope I'm audible. And thanks for taking my question, sir.
Yes, yes,
sir. My first question was, so my first question was with regard to the tax rate. This quarter, the effective tax rate is 26%. I just want to reiterate, this is what you should be assuming for the whole year? Or are there some...
yeah, I think it's about 25.2%, which is what we should assume.
For the whole year?
Yeah.
Sure. My second question, sir, from a promoter's timeshare perspective, and the timeshares of the promoters, they have 3 businesses which are running. I just want to know how do they spend time on this one vis-a-vis the others. And to an investor, I think this looks a far more complicated business because of too many macro balls lying beyond your control. So how do, first question is, the question is how do promoters allocate and level time, and what is it that they have in mind for, let's say, a 4-5 year outlook for this particular business?
So we have 3 listed companies with different different businesses, and as you rightly mentioned, this business is the more policy driven or involved business from the government intervention point of view, and there are a lot of changes or moving parts in the whole entire ecosystem of the solar and renewables. So obviously somebody has to give complete attention. Mr. P.K. Kheruka, who is the chairman, executive chairman, he is completely focused on this business, and he looks after, along with him, there is a CEO who is on the line. Mr. Melvin Moses is there. Mr. Rungta, who is overtime director and CFO, is also on the line. So there is a team below him, which is on day-to-day basis managing the affairs of the company. But he is also deeply involved in the entire operations and business. And regarding the government intervention and other Mr. Kheruka and myself are generally involved for the government representations and handling the policy, advocacy and other things. So this is a setup which we have for Borosil Renewables. In terms of the other businesses, Mr. Shivar Kheruka for Borosil Limited is the chairman, and he looks after the, he is the MD also, and below him there is a CEO who looks after the day-to-day business, and then of course the plant teams are there, and various functional teams like finance and other things are there. Similarly, for Borosil Scientific, also a separate team is there, which is independently working and focused on the growth of that business.
Got it, sir. I get my answer. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sonal.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you so much, all the investors, for presenting and coming into the this conference of Borosil Renewables and asking detailed questions. I hope I was able to do justice to your questions by replying you satisfactorily. We at Borosil Renewables are looking to grow shareholder value all points in time, and we our team is fully committed to commission the project and deliver the desired results from say Q4 FY27. With this, I would like to end the conference. Thank you so much.
On behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.